as well as the comments that, Tony made this morning. I think it really helps the singing when we do this here so often, when we have some kind of a theme that helps us to think about what we are singing. And I really thought Tony did an exceptional job of that this morning, and I'm sure we've all benefited from that. I'm glad to be back in town. I was away in Atlanta, and I missed being here Wednesday night, and it was a trip that had been planned for some months, and a show that takes place, and I felt like I really needed to go and had already committed to going, and I missed being here with you Wednesday night, and I hope that that doesn't happen very often. But anyway, I had a safe trip, but I'm certainly glad to be back, and glad to be with you this morning. A few weeks ago, someone asked me to present a lesson on traditions, and I said, okay. And I got to thinking about that, and I'm going, now what in the world am I going to say? Because I have some, you know, I knew I had some ideas and some things that I felt about that I would like to present, but then I got to thinking, now what does the Scripture say about this? And I don't need to just get up there and spout off what I feel about it and how I look at it. I need to come up with some scriptural basis for the way we look at these things. And as I got to going through the materials, I got to thinking about it, I thought, well, basically we come up and as we look in the Scripture, we see two different kinds of traditions. We see traditions that are encouraged and traditions that we should hold to, and that churches, as we look at some of the letters, that we're encouraged to hold to. And yet at the same time, we see traditions that are bad and traditions that are condemned and that they're told to stay away from and to avoid. So as a result, I came up with two lessons. Traditions that are good and traditions that are bad. And this morning I want us to look at the good traditions, and then tonight we're going to turn around and look at the other end of this thing and kind of get the whole perspective of it and look at what the Scripture has to say about it and some things we're warned about and some things we're encouraged to do. And hopefully by the time we get through with the lesson tonight, we will have gotten to a point where we kind of understand traditions maybe a little bit better and reasons for traditions and why we're doing what we're doing and so on and so forth. And I think this will be a beneficial study because I do believe this is an area that needs to be addressed, and I certainly appreciate this suggestion. As we think about good traditions, traditions that are right, traditions that we need to hold to, the first thing I think of is a passage that's found over in 2 Thessalonians. Some of you who are in the class back in the back corner that Brother Bullington teaches, we talked about some of this a couple weeks ago, and I had been asked to present a lesson on this like the Sunday before, I believe we talked about this on Wednesday night. So y'all are going to get a little bit of repeat here in the first part, but I believe it's repeat that will be good. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Look with me at verse 15. As I said, Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and listen to what he says to them. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Paul says, hey, he says, stand fast. Now look at one more verse down a little bit farther. Look at chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. So as we look at these verses and we think about what he is saying, he is saying, hey, here are traditions. Here are things you need to hold to. Here are things you need to be bound by tradition to. What things is he talking about? First thing I think of is he is talking, and we talked about this in our class, he is talking about the teachings of Jesus Christ as well as the teachings of the apostles as they were revealed by the Holy Spirit. And these are things we need to think about and that we need to make traditional, so to speak, in our lives. Now, I want to hasten to add, we don't need to make these things traditional for the sake of tradition, because that's what we always do. We need to make them traditional because we're convicted of them. Because we believe that's what we should do. Because we're doing it because we love God. And because we desire to please Him. That's the reason we should be fulfilling these traditions and why these should be traditions in our lives. Let's look at a few of these things. Turn to Luke, the 6th chapter. Paul is saying, hold fast to the traditions which you have been taught. What do you think some of those things are? Let's just look at a few verses here. Look at Luke 6. We're going to read several verses. Look first at verse 27. Again, these are the teachings of Jesus Christ. And he says in Luke 6, 27, he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Can you see that that needs to be a traditional thing that we do? That when we run into a situation where we're facing an enemy, someone who is out to get us or whatever, that this is the way we should react. Not one time react this way and one time react another way and another time do...
we're to love them every time. This is something that should become a common habit and a common practice. It's something that should become a tradition because it's something that's been handed down by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 36. Jesus says, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. This should become a tradition for us. We shouldn't be merciful part of the time and unmerciful the other part. We should be merciful all the time. Our tradition as Christians should be to be merciful. Look at verse 37. Several things. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Jesus says one of the traditions that you are to hold to is that you are not to judge people so that you won't be judged. You are to forgive so that you in turn will be forgiven. He says you're not to condemn people so that you won't be condemned. Can we see that as we look at the teachings of Jesus and we see the things that He has handed down to us that we have in the Scripture, the things that were revealed, that these are things that we should hold to. These are things that should become traditional to us. Things that no matter what, no matter what comes, that's what we do. And that's the way that we act. Look at, turn if you would to Mark the 16th chapter. I think we've got another one here. Mark 16, read with me verses 15 and 16. Again, we have the teaching of Jesus, and He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Do you see where I'm... This is a tradition. Christians are to be people who are out trying to teach other people. This is a tradition that's been handed down by Jesus Christ and something that we need to follow. Turn back a couple of pages maybe to Mark the 14th chapter. Look with me at verses 22 through 26. Mark 14, beginning at verse 22. Says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And He said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Surely I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the Father, in the kingdom of God. Jesus here is handing down something. And as you think about traditions, think about the fact that if you have met together with the saints from the time you became a Christian up until now, every first day of the week that you were able, that you met with the saints, we partook of the Lord's Supper. That, folks, is a tradition. Every week we partake of the bread, remembering the body of Christ, and we partake of the fruit of the vine, remembering His blood. But these are traditions that we need to hold to. These are traditions that come down from Jesus Christ Himself and from God the Father through the Holy Spirit to the apostles and have been written down for us. And we need to be mindful of that. Turn over another one. Turn to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Philippians 2, begin with me at verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Traditions handed back down by Jesus Christ. Traditions handed down by the apostles. Things that as Christians we are to be, the way we are to act, the things we are to do, things that we need to make traditional. But again, not traditional because that's what we always do, but traditional because that is the things I'm convicted I need to do if I'm going to be a servant of God. Can you see the difference? Can you see why these are things that are good traditions, things that we need to hold to? As I think about traditions that are good, I think about traditions that are going to help us avoid confusion. Look over to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to read verse 40 and think about a few things as it relates to this. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about the way they handle their assembly. And in this particular case, he's talking about the spiritual gifts and, you know, who is to speak when and so on and so forth, so that there won't be confusion. And the very last thing he says to them in 1 Corinthians 4, or 14 and verse 40, he says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And while in this particular case he's talking about spiritual gifts and things that relate to how they are to behave in their services, I think we can apply this to ourselves, that we are to do things decently and in order. Now, think about our order of worship. We come together. First thing we do is we meet in Bible class. We'll talk about that a little more. We come into our worship service. We have the announcements. And then after that, Tony led us in a song to help us prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We partook of the Lord's Supper. We gave. We sang some more songs. And now we're thinking about the Word of God and listening or about a lesson from His Word. And then we're going to extend an invitation and sing another song and be led in prayer. And just about every service that we come to, as far as that meets on the first day of the week, on a Sunday morning, that's pretty much the way it goes. And so many times now, I think we're seeing people who, that just won't do. That they look at our order of worship and they decide, we have just got to change that thing up because we are so bound by tradition. The question is, why are we bound by that tradition? Are we bound by it because it is the best way to do it and because it is the proper way to do it? I hope so. And there's nothing wrong with questioning tradition and questioning traditional things and the order of our service and things like that. But I hasten to point out that there is no need just to go in there and just redo everything simply so you can say you're no longer traditional. Tradition, again, is not something we do based strictly because that's all we've got, that's the way we've always done it. It's to be done because we know that that's the way God would have us to do it, and we do it because we love Him. Think about if we came in, and you come in one morning, and you have no idea how our order of worship is going to go. For me, it helps to know that in just a minute, I'm going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Helps you to gear your mind towards that. It helps me to know that when we are through with partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're going to pray. It helps me to gear my mind in that mode that I'm about to go before the throne of my Father. And in just a few minutes, we're going to sing. And it helps me to know what is about to take place so that I can be prepared for it. Can you imagine the confusion that would take place right here? Relatively small group of people, but the massive amount of confusion that would take place if we had no idea who was going to go in and what was going to happen. There's nothing wrong with having a traditional way of doing things if it is the best possible way. Now, that doesn't mean there are going to be times when the service is changed up. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I've got to be careful how much I say this morning so I don't preach my lesson tonight, because we're going to talk about more of these things tonight. But tradition is something that is good, something that's right. Think about tradition as it relates to the time of our service. Sunday morning, 9:30. We know worship's going to start about 10:15. Sunday night, we know that we meet at 6 o'clock. On Wednesday night, we know that we meet together at 7 o'clock. And Sunday night, 5:45 for the children. We know when these times are and when we are to be here. Can you imagine if we decided that simply for the sake of tradition, and this is being done, we're going to switch up the time of our service. And on the first Sunday night of the month, we're going to meet at 5 o'clock that night. And that morning, we're going to meet at 8:30 instead of 9:30. And then on the second Sunday night, we're going to meet at 6 o'clock. And that Sunday morning, we'll meet at 9 o'clock and have classes till 10. And then we know that on the third Sunday, we're going to meet at 6:30. And can you imagine? Do you see how that the tradition that we have set up so that we know when our time of services are, we know when we're supposed to be there, that is something that helps us, that it helps aids in our worship and makes us a more organized and a better group of people and better able to serve God? Can we see what we're talking about? Think about our Bible classes. We have Sunday morning, and Wednesday night. Nowhere in the Scripture can you find where we are commanded that we have to be here on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in order to... But can you see that that is a tradition that has been handed down? Can you see the benefits of it? That this is something where we meet together and we set time aside to study the Word of God, and it gives us some kind of consistent study. It helps us maybe to organize our own study as we go about our life. Can we see the benefits of this? And we're commanded to meet together on the first day of the week, but we don't not commanded to meet at any particular time or twice or any. But do you see the benefit of that tradition? That we come together to worship God and to serve Him, and the benefits that we would receive from that? People are getting, I'm afraid, carried away, and I hear it in this area and I hear it in other areas. They're getting carried away with the idea of we just cannot have traditions. That just won't do. I heard of a congregation just recently who had a meeting. They were having a meeting, and it was a Wednesday through Sunday or how that was working. Anyway, they were going to meet on a Saturday night, and they were meeting at 7 o'clock each night, but they decided, and they did it, folks. I know this because I know the people here. They did it for the sake of breaking tradition. They decided they were going to meet at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. They had a carload of people show up at 7. Do you see how that maybe breaking tradition is not going to help us in the least? The thing we have to do is look at the traditions that we are accustomed to and the things that we do, and be sure that the traditions that we have set up and the traditions that we follow are in accordance with the Word of God. And be sure that the reason we're doing it is because we love God, because we're dedicated to serving Him, and not simply because that's what we've always done. Can we see this? Can you see the difference between these things? When I think about good traditions, and I've made this point, there are traditions that are based on conviction. Tradition for the sake of tradition is going to get us nowhere. Tradition, because we're convicted, will. And again, we'll get farther into this tonight, but I'm afraid that so many times we get into a rut where we're doing things and we don't even think about what we're doing. That's just the way we do it. That's the way we've always done it. That's the way we always will do it. The question we have to ask is, why are we doing the things that we're doing? And I made this point. There is absolutely, positively nothing wrong with questioning tradition. But the light in which we test tradition and the light in which we look at tradition is based on the Word of God. If we can look at the Word of God and see that the things that we do and the activities that we do as we meet together as a group of Christians and as we are a part of this church, and if those things are in accordance with the Word of God and we do them the same way each Sunday, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And we get into tonight a little bit, we'll see that there are things that we do that we need to be careful of, traps that we don't need to fall into, but traditions that we must hold to. And as we think about the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the apostles, those are things we have got to hang on to, and they have got to be traditional in our lives. But so many times, I'm afraid we've managed to get into a traditional worship service and a traditional time of meeting, and we hold fast all these traditions and feel like they're almost law, when in reality, we have allowed the things that we really need to be focused on, that we really need to be concentrating on, things like mercy and grace and being forgiving and being willing to give. We've allowed those things to become non-traditional. They're things that, yeah, we do some of the time, but not all the time. Tradition is an interesting... They're good traditions and they're bad. The ones that are good, we need to test. We need to be sure they're in accordance with the Word of God. And as we get into tonight's lesson, you'll see that there are things that we need to avoid and to stay away from. I see in many cases, as I've already said, tradition just being kind of thrown out the window simply because it is tradition. That's not right. But we do need to ask, why are we doing what we're doing? Are we basing it on the Word of God? Is it in accordance with His plan?
And I encourage you to think about these things, and I encourage you to focus on them and decide. Are we doing things in the right way? Are we getting into a rut? Have we done things simply because of tradition? It's tradition. Rather than because it's pleasing to God. And one of the traditions that we have as a church is to extend the invitation on every service that we meet together. And I'm afraid that this may be one of those traditions that we've just kind of gotten into and just extended, and we really don't think a whole lot about it, and we stand up and we sing the invitation song, and it just doesn't mean a whole lot to us. It's just another song, except this time we sing. And the point that we need to remember is that there are those here this morning who need to respond to that invitation. And as we sing, what are we singing? We're singing to try to encourage them to come to Jesus Christ and to accept Him and to be obedient to His word. And the fervor that that should give to our singing, especially as we think about those that we care about so much, that we want so much to respond. Can you see how if we're thinking about it, if we allow these things to be things we do because we love God rather than we do just by tradition, how much better it would be? And in a minute, we're going to sing an invitation song. Something we have done no telling how many times right here. But this time, I want you to sing it with me further. Think about why we're doing it. We're trying to do it to encourage you. We're trying to do it to get those who aren't Christians and those who are maybe wayward Christians to sing. Focus on their life and focus on what they need to do to be right with God. And if you're here this morning and not a Christian, if you'll repent of your sins and confess your faith and be baptized, God will forgive you. And you can be a child of His. And you can be a part of His church. And you can worship Him on the first day of the week. You can look forward to that. And certainly you can look forward to the hope of heaven if we follow back to found ourselves in a tradition-bound rut, so to speak, and not doing things because we are convicted of it, or because we feel like it's what we need to do. Maybe we need to go home and re-study and rethink and come to conclusions that are ours rather than things that have been handed down and determine that from now on, I'm going to worship God, maybe in a traditional way, because I'm convicted that that's the way I want to act. But it could be we've allowed this to influence others, seep out and destroy our influence when we repent and ask God to forgive us. And we know that He will. If you're here this morning and you need to respond to the invitation that we've offered so many times, we hope that you'll come right now as we stand and sing the invitation. Well,